During this week of Pentecost, the text that we have selected to meditate upon today is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 26. And Jesus is here speaking to his disciples. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In this week of Pentecost, we often focus on the work of the Holy Spirit, and as he goes about his work in the hearts and lives of people, today my sermon is going to be in the form of a story that took place during my early years in the ministry. But as I tell this story, I want you to think in terms of that very subject matter, how the Holy Spirit goes about his work through word and sacrament to bring people to a knowledge of Christ. When I first arrived at a congregation I was newly serving down in Naples, Florida, I noticed every month that there was a check that would come in the mail from a family in town that was not members. $100 check every month to the church. And about the third month of this happening, I thought I better investigate who this is. So I got on the phone and called the number on the check and found that it was a very elderly woman, probably in her 90s, that I was speaking to. And she explained to me that years ago, her daughter, when she would come to visit them, would often come to our church, apparently, and always liked our church. And so in her memory, she's decided to send $100 every month to this church. Her daughter had passed away in the meantime, was their only child. And this was kind of her way of commemorating her daughter's death. I said, well, that's very nice and generous. I said, I'd love a chance to come and meet you. Well, she said, my husband and I really have no interest in church ourselves. We both went to church when we were little and we didn't like it. And we decided when we got married we didn't want anything to do with the church at all. And so we'd prefer that you just not concern yourself with us. Well, she kept sending the checks. And I one day decided, I was down in their neighborhood, very wealthy part of the town, only about 5 blocks from the Gulf of Mexico. And I thought, I'm going to stop in just to greet this lady and thank her personally. So I came to the door and I met her and I said, I'm Pastor Don Molstead of Our Savior Lutheran Church and I just wanted to come and thank you personally. And, oh, come in, she said. So I came into the house and began to talk to her. She made tea for me, and we talked for probably 20 minutes. I heard a little bit of their life story and so on. And I thought, it's about time for me to start shifting the conversation in the direction of spiritual matters. So I gently started to wade into that. And she immediately stopped me and said, who are you again? And I said, I'm Pastor Molstead from Our Savior Lutheran Church, the church you send those checks to. Oh, she said, I thought you were my lawyer. I thought you were a lawyer who had come from the law office. And she said, I told you on the phone, my husband and I have no real interest in church at all. I said, well, I just thought I'd stop and thank you personally for those gifts. And she said, well, my husband is dying of cancer, and we really don't want to be bothered with the church. And I said, well, is he in the hospital? I'd love to stop and see him. No, he's in the bedroom right here in the house, and he's dying. And I said, can I possibly go greet him and meet him? No, he hasn't shaved today, and he probably wouldn't want visitors. So I said, well, I would love a chance to meet him. And I'm thinking, this man is dying, and he needs to hear the gospel. Well, she would have no part of it. And I said, well, how about if I make some tapes of little devotions that I could have you play to him? I'll bring you the tape recorder and everything. No, that's too much of a hassle. I don't know much about those machines and things. And I was thinking, I've got to find a way to get the Word of God, which is the only way the knowledge of Christ will come to this man. I've got to find a way to get that to him. Well, every possible way that I thought I could get to him, she was going to shut down. So I went back to my office very frustrated. I sent her a few letters for a few weeks, and I remember thinking that what a frustrating thing that I could not find a way to reach this man who was dying. Well, finally one day she called me, a number of months after I'd been there, and she said, would you be willing to have my husband's funeral? And I thought, I'm going to get tough on her. And I said, Muriel, if I'm going to have Al's funeral, if you want me to be his pastor when he dies, you have to let me be his pastor when he's living. And it was quiet for a few seconds, and she said, okay, you can come and visit him. So I went down there right away that day, and I brought my New Testament with me, and I remember having a very simple law and gospel devotion with him about our sinfulness and the desperate need we have for our Savior and what Christ has come to do for us and so on. And I met him. He was under 100 pounds. She had him in a hospital bed out in the dining room. And I said, I'd like to come back and visit Al every week if that's okay. And she said, fine. So I came back, and I actually began taking him through like an adult instruction course without them necessarily knowing it, and was reading the passages to them and began instructing him. And I remember that right behind his bed, as I would sit close to him, right behind his bed was a library shelf full of books on the Masonic Lodge. Now, the Masons acknowledge any god that there is, and they also teach very clearly that your way to get to heaven and to be right with whomever this God is by your own goodness and how good you are. That's a natural impulse in all of us. And so, without addressing the Masons specifically, I continued to go on every class with law and gospel, using God's word and so on. I remember I made it through about a dozen lessons with him. One night at 3 a.m, Muriel called our house and said, Pastor, could you come out? Al has just died. So I came to the house. She hadn't called anybody else yet. She said she wanted to let me know first. And we then made the arrangements with the funeral director and so on. And I said to her, I was thinking about the Masons and so on and his Masonic beliefs. She said, you know, I'd like you to have Al's funeral, but do you think it would be okay if we didn't ask the Masons to come? Because they often want to come and have quite a grand ceremony. And I said, well, actually, that would be very fine with me. And she said, you know, after you've come and read things from the Bible to us, and now that Al seems to have learned to know about Jesus as his Savior, I don't think he would believe anything that the Masons would talk about anymore. And so I had his funeral. A month or two later, Muriel joined our congregation. And a few years later, after I had left and the next pastor came to take over, she likewise passed away. It's interesting how God the Holy Spirit works through the ministry and through the word that leads us to a knowledge of Christ, to bring people to faith, even in the final years or months of their lives. What a wonderful and powerful thing it is that God has given us in his word and sacraments that connects us to Christ, our living Savior, who alone can take us to heaven. When we think about what Christ came into this world to do for us, to atone for all of our sins with his shedding of his blood, to live out a perfect holy record that you and I need to have before God on Judgment Day, to rise again back to life from the dead, to give us the hope of a resurrection, all of those amazing, wonderful things that our Lord Jesus has come to do for us, would have been like a treasure buried in a field, and we would have had no shovel were it not for Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit. Christmas and Easter would be completely irrelevant were it not for the work that we celebrate on Pentecost, that of how we get connected to all of this saving work of our Lord Jesus. You know, we're very accustomed to celebrating our birthdays in various ways, but if you think about your birthday as each year gets added on, you're actually marking how long your life has been on this earth and how much closer really you are to your death. As happy as we try to make them be, our birthdays, in a sense, are also a kind of an odometer like on our car, recognizing how old we are getting closer to death. The day that we should really celebrate is our spiritual birthday, when God the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, entered our hearts, caused us to hold on to Christ as our Savior, to cherish the forgiveness of all of your sins that he's won for you, the eternal life in heaven that you have waiting for you because of his sure work. That's the day that we should really celebrate, because it's the day that marks when we will have eternal life that will go on forever. Each one of us has our own little Al and Muriel story. Each one of us has our own little account of how God used the ministry and his word and sacrament to ultimately touch our hearts and to claim us for Christ, to make us one of his elect, so that you and I could someday sing together with the saints and angels the praises of our God in heaven. Today, let us thank God not only for the gift of his Son, but also for the sending of his Spirit, our helper. Amen.